Welcome to Moonlight Mate's Library. Let's unfold the heartbreaking tale of Gideon and Beatrice. For 20 years, Lord Gideon had been a nightmare of steel and blood, a ruthless conqueror who never bowed to kings or gods. Yet, inside the freezing, forgotten walls of St. Clair's Abbey, the immortal wolf finally fell to his knees. The heavy iron of his armor crashed against the damp stone floor. He stared with terrified eyes at the fragile, silver-haired woman taking her last shallow breaths on the narrow bed. He had burned half the known world to ash just to find the lowly maid who once saved his life. But the universe had played a brutally cruel joke. He had brought a golden empire to lay at her feet, only to realize he was decades too late. The northern wind tore through the Valley of Blackwood. Lord Gideon did not feel the cold. His men rode in silence behind him, their heads bowed against the freezing rain. They called him the Immortal. Enemies across the realm whispered that he was a man who could not be killed. But beneath the heavy iron breastplate, he was simply a tired man running out of time. It had been 20 years since the Siege of High Cross, 20 years since the fires took the only light he ever knew. He pulled the reins, bringing his warhorse to a halt before a massive stone structure. St. Clair's Abbey stood at the edge of the world, half swallowed by the winter frost. It was a place for the forgotten. Gideon dismounted, his boots sinking deep into the mud. He was no longer the ragged, bleeding mercenary she had saved 2 decades ago. He remembered that freezing night in the stables when Beatrice had found him dying from a sword wound. She was just a lowly scullery maid, shivering in the dark. Yet she had given him her only wool blanket. She had pressed her hands over his wound to stop the bleeding, hiding him from the guards. That single act of reckless kindness had tethered his soul to hers forever. He fought his way up from the mud for her. He slaughtered warlords, conquered territories, and built a fortress just to keep her safe. But war had a way of stealing the things you fought to protect. The rebellion had separated them during the retreat. He had spent the last 2 decades tearing the world apart to find her. Now, he finally had the power to give her an empire. He pushed the heavy iron gates of the abbey open. The rusted hinges screamed in the quiet courtyard. 2 elderly nuns stepped out of the chapel, their eyes wide with terror at the sight of the armored giant. Gideon ignored their fear and walked directly toward them. "I am looking for a woman." His voice was hoarse, rough like grinding stones. He reached into his cloak and pulled out a tarnished silver locket. "She was brought here many winters ago. Her name is Beatrice." The older nun looked at the crest on his armor and trembled. She recognized the sigil of the Iron Wolf. "My lord," the nun whispered, bowing her head. "She is here." Gideon's chest stopped moving. For 20 years he had prepared himself for a grave. Hearing that she was alive felt like a brutal blow to his ribs. "Take me to her," he commanded. The nun hesitated, her hands clutching her wooden rosary. "You must prepare yourself, my lord," she said softly. "Time has not been kind." Gideon did not care about time. He followed the frail woman down a long, dark stone corridor. The air grew colder the deeper they went. It smelled of dried herbs, damp wood, and approaching death. Every heavy footstep of his iron boots echoed against the walls. His heart hammered violently in his throat. The man who had faced 1,000 charging cavalrymen without blinking was now terrified. The nun stopped before a narrow wooden door at the end of the hall. She pushed it open and stepped aside. Gideon took a breath and walked into the small, dimly lit room. A single candle burned on a wooden table. There was a narrow bed by the frost-covered window. A woman sat on the edge of the mattress, looking out the falling snow. She was wrapped in a coarse, gray shawl. Her shoulders were frail, thin like bird bones under the fabric. But it was her hair that made Gideon freeze. It was completely silver. Not the golden brown he had dreamt of every night, but stark, pale white. She turned her head slowly toward the doorway. Her face was lined with deep wrinkles, her eyes clouded with age and sickness. She looked like a woman who had lived a lifetime of quiet suffering. Gideon stood paralyzed in the doorway. His massive frame blocked the light from the hall. He had brought her a crown. but she looked as though she could not even lift a cup. She squinted at the dark figure standing in her room. "Is someone there?" Her voice was a fragile whisper, dry and weak. Gideon opened his mouth, but no sound came out. The fierce warlord, the immortal conqueror, felt his knees buckle. He slowly lowered his massive body to the stone floor. The metal plates of his armor clattered loudly as he fell to his knees. "It's me," he choked out, his voice cracking. Tears he had held back for 20 years finally spilled over his scarred face. He reached out a trembling hand toward her. "I found you," he wept, bowing his head to the cold floor. "But I am too late." Beatrice tilted her head toward the sound. She listened to the harsh, tearing sound of his weeping. Her failing eyes could only make out a large, dark shadow kneeling on the floor. "Who is crying?" she asked again. Her voice held no fear, only a quiet, patient confusion.
Gideon could not speak. The lump in his throat felt like a fist choking him from the inside. He slowly raised his hands and unbuckled his heavy iron gauntlets. He let them fall to the stone floor with a dull, heavy thud. His bare hands were massive, covered in thick calluses and white scars from countless battles. He dragged his knees across the rough stone, moving closer to her bed. He moved slowly because he did not want to frighten her. He gently reached out and covered her small, trembling hands with his own. Her skin felt like crumpled, dry parchment. She was completely freezing. Beatrice flinched slightly at the sudden touch of his rough palms. "It is me, Bea," he whispered. He used the name he had guarded in his chest for 2 decades. She went completely still, the old nickname hung in the freezing air between them. "No," Beatrice breathed out, shaking her head slowly. "No, he died. They told me he died at High Cross." "I didn't die," Gideon said, his voice cracking. He squeezed her frozen fingers, desperately trying to share his body heat with her. "You wrapped me in your blanket. You hid me under the damp hay." He swallowed hard, fighting back another sob. "I promised I would come back for you." Beatrice's breath hitched in her throat. Her cloudy gray eyes widened as the memory rushed back to her. She slowly pulled one hand free from his desperate grip. Her thin arm shook as she reached out into the empty space between them. Gideon immediately leaned forward. He guided her frail, brittle hand to his own face. Her fingertips traced the harsh, rigid line of his jaw. They brushed over the deep, ruined scar that ran across his cheek. They felt the heavy, tired lines carved around his eyes. "Gideon," she whispered. It was not a question. It was a sigh of absolute, exhausting relief. She did not scream or accuse him of abandoning her. She did not ask him why he had taken 20 long years to find her. Instead, her thumb weakly stroked the thick scar tissue on his cheek. "You have been hurt so much," she said softly. Her voice broke with a deep, crushing sorrow. "You must have been so cold all these years." That simple sentence broke the last remaining piece of the immortal wolf. He collapsed against the edge of her mattress. The terrifying warlord buried his scarred face into the coarse fabric of her thin lap. He cried like a lost man who had finally found the door to his home. "I was," he sobbed into her knees. "I was so cold without you." Beatrice smiled gently in the dim candlelight. It was the same warm, forgiving smile she had given him 20 years ago in the dark. She rested her hand on the back of his neck. She felt the thick, graying hair there, realizing they had both grown old. "Hush now," she murmured. She patted his broad shoulder with weak, rhythmic motions. "You are safe now. The war is over." Gideon squeezed his eyes shut, wishing he could pour his own life force into her veins. He had gold. He had vast armies. He had stone castles. But he could not buy back the decades she had spent suffering in this damp, freezing room. He lifted his head and looked up at her. "I built a home for us," he told her, his voice thick with tears. "It has large stone hearths and glass windows. You will never be cold again." He waited for her to smile, to ask when they could leave, but Beatrice just continued to squawk his hair. Her breathing was shallow and slightly labored. "That sounds beautiful," she whispered. She did not move to stand up. She did not ask him to help her gather her things. Gideon felt a cold spike of dread pierce his stomach. He looked closely at her pale, sunken cheeks and purple lips. He saw the way her chest struggled to rise with every single breath. The nuns had told him time had not been kind, but he finally understood what they meant. She was not just old and sick, she was dying. "I am taking you away from here," Gideon said, his tone hardened with sudden, desperate authority. He stood up, his armor clanking loudly in the small room. "I have fillers outside, the best physicians in the realm. They will treat you." Beatrice shook her head slowly. She reached out, her fingers weakly grasping the edge of his steel breastplate. "Gideon," she said gently, "sit down." He froze. No general, no king, no enemy had ever commanded him and lived. But at her quiet request, he instantly dropped back down to the floor. He knelt by her bed, his large hands carefully holding her waist as if she were made of glass. "Don't say it," he begged. The man who did not fear death was terrified of the quiet truth in her eyes. "Please, Bea, don't say it." "I am very tired, Gideon," she confessed. A small, peaceful sigh escaped her dry lips. "I only held on because I promised I would wait for you."
Gideon shook his head rapidly, his grip tightening on her gray dress. "You waited, and I am here. Now we live." He pressed his forehead against her frail chest, listening to her weak heartbeat. "You owe me a lifetime, Beatrice. I will not let you leave me." "No," Gideon said, his voice dropping to a dangerous, low rumble. He refused to accept her words. The immortal wolf did not surrender to anyone, not even to death. He abruptly let go of her dress and stood up. He turned toward the open wooden door and roared, "Julian!" His shout shook the dust from the stone ceiling. "Bring the healers in here, now." Footsteps immediately echoed down the dark hallway. Two heavily armed guards appeared in the doorway, looking panicked. Right behind them was Julian, the chief physician of Gideon's army. Julian was a seasoned man who had patched up hundreds of soldiers on the battlefield. He rushed into the room, carrying a heavy leather bag filled with medicines. He stopped short when he saw the frail woman on the bed. "Fix her," Gideon ordered, pointing a trembling finger at Beatrice. Julian quickly knelt beside the narrow bed. He opened his bag and pulled out a small glass listening tube. Beatrice did not resist. She simply watched the frantic men with a calm, tired expression. Julian pressed the tube against her thin chest. He listened for a long moment, his face growing paler by the second. He then reached out and placed his fingers on her wrist to feel her pulse. Her heartbeat was erratic, weak like a fluttering moth. Julian lowered his hands and slowly looked up at Gideon. His eyes were filled with absolute terror. He knew the wrath of the warlord standing above him. "Speak," Gideon commanded. His hand instinctively rested on the heavy iron pommel of his sword. "My lord," Julian stammered, bowing his head. "Her lungs are completely consumed by the cold rot. Her heart is failing." Gideon's jaw tightened. "Give her medicine. Give her whatever she needs." Julian shook his head, his hands shaking. "There is no medicine for this, my lord. Her body has simply run out of time." The words hit Gideon like a battering ram. A sudden, blinding rage surged through his veins. He drew his longsword in one fluid motion. The sharp, metallic ring of the steel filled the small room. Before Julian could blink, the cold edge of the heavy blade was pressed against his throat. "You are the best healer in the realm," Gideon snarled. His eyes were wild, resembling a trapped, starving animal. "I will give you a mountain of gold. I will give you your own province." He pressed the blade slightly closer, drawing a tiny bead of blood from Julian's neck. "You will fix her, or I will leave your head on this floor." Julian squeezed his eyes shut and began to pray. The guards in the hallway stepped back, too terrified to intervene. Gideon had conquered entire kingdoms with that very sword. He had cut down kings and slaughtered thousands to reach this room. He firmly believed his power could force the world to obey him. "Gideon," the voice was barely louder than the winter wind outside. It cut through his blinding rage instantly. Gideon froze, the heavy sword still locked against the healer's throat. He turned his head slightly toward the bed. Beatrice was looking at him. She could not see the blade clearly, but she heard the metal. She knew the violent tension in the room. "Put it away," she said softly. Gideon's chest heaved up and down. "He says he cannot save you," Gideon choked out, his voice full of desperate betrayal. "Because he cannot," Beatrice replied patiently. She slowly reached her frail hand out toward him again. "No amount of gold can buy back the sand in an hourglass." She coughed, a dry, rattling sound that tore at Gideon's heart. "Please, do not stain this room with blood." She paused to catch her breath, her chest rising painfully. "I have seen enough violence in my life. I do not want it here. Not today."
Gideon stared at her pale, peaceful face. He looked at the brutal weapon in his hand. The sword that had brought him glory suddenly felt completely useless. It could sever limbs and break shields, but it could not fight a disease. It could not add a single day to her life. With a trembling hand, Gideon slowly pulled the blade away from Julian's throat. He sheathed the heavy sword with a loud final click. "Get out," Gideon whispered to the terrified physician. Julian scrambled backward on his knees, grabbed his bag, and fled the room. Gideon turned to the guards in the hallway. "Leave us. Close the door. Let no one disturb us." The heavy wooden door shut with a solid thud, plunging the room back into quiet intimacy. Only the crackle of the single candle remained.
Gideon walked slowly back to the edge of the bed. All the terrifying dominance had vanished from his massive frame. He was just a helpless, broken man again. He sat gently on the edge of the mattress, careful not to crush the thin blankets. He reached out and gathered her freezing hands back into his warm ones.
"I am sorry," he whispered, staring down at their joined hands. "I am just so angry."
Beatrice laid her head back against the hard wooden headboard.
"I know," she murmured.
"But you do not need to fight anymore." The steel plates of his armor were freezing against the warm air of the room. Gideon realized he could not hold her properly while wearing his war gear. He stood up and began to unfasten the thick leather straps at his shoulders. He moved in silence, dropping the heavy metal pieces onto the floor, one by one. The breastplate fell with a heavy thud, followed by his arm guards and chainmail. Soon he stood in only his dark linen tunic and trousers. Without the armor, he was still a massive, intimidating figure. His broad shoulders and heavily scarred arms filled the small space of the room, but his movements were incredibly gentle. He climbed onto the narrow wooden bed. The old wooden slats creaked dangerously under his immense weight. He did not care if the bed broke. He carefully gathered Beatrice into his arms. He pulled her back against his chest, wrapping his large limbs entirely around her frail body. She felt impossibly light, like a bundle of dry winter branches. He pulled the coarse gray blankets up over her shoulders. Then he wrapped his own thick woolen cloak around the two of them, sealing out the damp draft. Beatrice let out a long, quiet sigh. She rested her silver head against the steady, powerful beating of his heart.
"You are so warm," she whispered, her eyes closing in comfort. "I always remembered your warmth."
Gideon tightened his arms around her waist, resting his chin on the top of her head.
"I will keep you warm," he promised softly. "I will never let the cold touch you again."
For a long time, neither of them spoke. They simply listened to the howling wind outside the frosted window. The violent warlord sat perfectly still, holding the only thing in the world he truly valued.
"Do you remember the rain?"
Beatrice asked suddenly. Her voice was faint, drifting lazily through the quiet room.
"The night you hid in the stables at High Cross."
"I remember everything," Gideon replied immediately. He closed his eyes, bringing the memory back to the surface. The roof leaked. The hay smelled like wet earth and old pine. Beatrice smiled slightly in the dark.
"You were bleeding so much, I thought you were already a corpse."
"I was," Gideon said, "until you touched me." He remembered the absolute terror of that night. He had been betrayed by his commander, hunted by enemy scouts, and left to bleed out in the mud. He had crawled into the dark stable, ready to meet his end. But then a scullery maid with terrified eyes had found him. Instead of screaming for the guards, she had knelt in the dirt beside him.
"I cut up my only blanket," Beatrice murmured,
her memory fading in and out. "I tore it with a dull kitchen knife to bind your ribs." She coughed again, her thin frame shaking violently against his chest. Gideon held her firmly until the coughing fit passed.
"It was a terrible blanket," he lied softly, rubbing her back.
"It was itchy and smelled of hirsefold." Beatrice let out a weak, breathy sound that might have been a laugh.
"It saved your life, you ungrateful brute."
Gideon's chest tightened. He slowly released his grip on her waist and reached into the collar of his tunic.
His thick fingers found a small leather pouch tied securely around his neck. He pulled it out and broke the wax seal. Inside was a small, ragged piece of gray wool. It was stained dark brown with decades-old dried blood. He gently pressed the rough fabric into the palm of her hand. Beatrice opened her blind eyes, her fingertips tracing the edges of the cloth. She recognized the texture immediately.
"You kept it," she whispered in disbelief.
"Every day," Gideon answered. His voice shook with an intensity that he usually reserved for the battlefield. Through every battle, every siege, every winter campaign, he pressed his lips to her silver hair. "When they cut me down, I held this to my chest and remembered your face." He took a deep, trembling breath. "It was the only reason I stood back up. It was the only reason I lived." Beatrice ran her thumb over the dried blood on the wool. A single tear slipped from the corner of her eye and soaked into his tunic. She had spent 20 years believing she was forgotten by the world. She had accepted her fate as a nameless maid dying in a silent abbey. To realize that she had been the anchor for the most feared man in the realm was overwhelming. "I am glad," she breathed out. "I am glad my blanket kept you safe."
Gideon squeezed his eyes shut, fighting the burning sting of tears. He pulled her even closer, burying his face in her thin neck. He focused all his legendary strength, trying to force his own vitality into her skin. He wanted to trade his immortal reputation for just one more year of her life. But the stark reality remained unchanged. Beneath his massive, scarred hands, her breathing was growing incredibly shallow. The immortal wolf was holding his entire world, and he was completely powerless to save it. The wind battered heavily against the frosted glass of the small window. Inside the narrow room, the flickering candle cast long, dancing shadows across the damp stone walls. Gideon refused to let the silence settle between them. Silence felt too much like an ending, and he was absolutely not ready for this to end. He adjusted his massive frame carefully on the creaking mattress. He made sure his heavy arms fully supported her fragile spine without crushing her. "I built it in the far south," he began, his rough voice a low rumble against her back. "It is miles away from the snow and the freezing rain of Blackwood." Beatrice turned her head slightly, resting her pale, sunken cheek against his chest. "Tell me about it," she whispered softly. She knew she would never see this place, but she desperately wanted to hear the hope in his voice. Gideon swallowed the bitter knot of grief in his throat. He forced himself to speak clearly, fighting the tremor in his breath. "It is not a fortress," he said, staring into the dark, dusty corners of the room. "There are no iron gates, no watchtowers, and no soldiers marching in the courtyards." He rested his chin on her silver hair, closing his eyes to clearly see the image in his mind. "It is a manor made of pale limestone, sitting on a high cliff overlooking the sea. The air there is always warm, and it smells constantly of salt and sweet citrus." Beatrice's erratic breathing steadied slightly as she listened to the deep rhythm of his words. "Is it very large?" she asked, her voice carrying a faint trace of wonder. "It is large enough," Gideon replied, his hand gently stroking her incredibly thin arm. "But I designed the entire ground floor entirely for you." He remembered the damp stone stairs she used to scrub on her hands and knees 2 decades ago. He remembered her swollen wood knuckles and exhausted shoulders from carrying heavy wooden buckets of water. "There are no stairs for you to climb," he promised fiercely in the dark. "The floors are covered in thick wool carpets bought from Eastern merchants. You will never have to walk on bare, cold stone ever again." A small, fragile smile touched Beatrice's purple lips. "That sounds like heaven for an old, tired maid," she murmured. "You are no maid," Gideon corrected her immediately. His tone was sharp with defensive pride and a fierce, lingering loyalty. "You are the lady of that house. You are the only queen I will ever recognize." He pulled his heavy woolen cloak tighter around her, physically blocking out the chill of the abbey. "I hired 3 dozen servants to maintain the estate. They will bake your bread, tend the hearths, and wash your clothes." He pressed his rough cheek against the top of her head. "I bought chests filled with soft silk dresses and fur-lined slippers.
Your only task will be to sit by the fire and let the sun warm your face. Beatrice let out a soft, shuddering sigh of pure contentment. And the windows? She asked, playing along with his beautiful, heartbreaking dream. They are massive, Gideon answered, leaning completely into the fantasy. I brought the finest glassbuckers from the capital to craft them. They stretch from the floor directly to the ceiling, facing the southern sea. When the morning sun rises, the entire room fills with brilliant golden light. He could see it so clearly in his mind. This was the quiet life he had fought 100 bloody battles to secure. He had survived poison, plague, and assassinations just to sit in that light with her. And outside the windows? She prompted gently, sensing his sudden hesitation. A garden, Gideon said, his voice softening into a painful, hoarse whisper. I planted a massive garden of white roses, just beyond the glass. There are smooth stone benches beneath a large oak tree where we can sit in the afternoons. There is no mud, no blood, and no war anywhere near it. He pressed a lingering, desperate kiss to her temple. It is just quiet, just you and me, finally resting. Beatrice raised her trembling hand and rested it over his thick, scarred wrist. Her thumb weakly traced the heavy veins beneath his rough skin. I can see it, she whispered, her blind eyes fixed on the dark wall ahead. It is so bright, Gideon, and the roses smell wonderful. For a brief, agonizing moment, Gideon allowed himself to believe her. He imagined picking her up in his arms, walking out of this wretched room, and riding south.
He imagined watching the color slowly return to her pale cheeks under the warm sun. He imagined growing old with her in a place completely untouched by sorrow. But then her chest seized with a sudden, violent spasm. Beatrice coughed, a terrible, wet sound that shattered the peaceful illusion instantly. Her thin body lurched forward, and she gasped for air like a drowning woman. Gideon panicked, sitting up quickly and supporting her frail shoulders. Bia! He shouted, his heart hammering violently against his ribs. He rubbed her back frantically as she struggled to pull oxygen into her failing lungs. The coughing fit seemed to last forever, draining whatever little strength she had left. When it finally passed, she slumped heavily back against his chest, completely exhausted. Her breath came in ragged, uneven gasps, rattling deep in her throat. Gideon stared blankly at the dark, damp stone walls of the Abbey Room. The warm southern manner vanished from his mind, replaced by the brutal reality of the present. He was the most powerful man in the kingdom, holding a fortune in gold and land. Yet, all his immense wealth and endless armies could not buy her a single breath of warm air. He pulled her tightly against his chest, burying his face in the crook of her neck. The immortal wolf closed his eyes, surrendering to the crushing weight of his absolute defeat. The violent spasm in her chest finally subsided into a fragile, rhythmic wheeze. Gideon held her with terrifying care, afraid that even his deep breathing might break her apart. He stared into the dancing shadows on the stone wall, his mind consumed by a dark, suffocating guilt. He had spent 20 years carving a path of absolute retribution across the continent. Every castle he burned, every warlord he executed, he did it in her name. He lowered his head, pressing his lips gently against the thin shell of her ear.
I made them pay, he whispered into the dark, quiet room.
His rough voice carried the heavy weight of a sovereign who had judged the world and found it deeply guilty. Everyone who ever looked down on you, Beatrice, I made them suffer. Beatrice's breathing paused for a fraction of a second, but she did not pull away from his embrace. Do you remember the High Steward of Highcross? Gideon asked, his tone darkening into something incredibly dangerous. The man who whipped your hands when you dropped the heavy silver trays in the dining hall. Beatrice closed her clouded eyes, briefly remembering the stinging pain of the thick leather on her frozen fingers. I took that castle 10 winters ago, Gideon confessed, his voice thick with a malevolent, lingering satisfaction. I dragged him from his warm bed and threw him into the deepest dungeon below the moat. He spent the rest of his miserable life scrubbing the wet, rotting stone floors in the pitch dark. He felt her thin fingers shift against his chest, but he could not stop the dark confession pouring from his soul. He desperately needed her to know that her suffering had not been ignored by the universe. He needed her to understand that he had willingly become a monster just to balance the scales for her. And the noble women? Gideon continued, his jaw clenching at the memory of their arrogant, powdered faces. The ladies in fine silk who laughed at your patched dress and forced you to wash their linens in the freezing river. When I conquered the western provinces, I systematically stripped their husbands of all their lands and ancient titles. He pulled the thick woolen cloak tighter around her, attempting to shield her from the phantom cold of those bitter memories. I forced those same proud noblewomen to kneel in the thick mud as my army marched through their broken gates. I took their ancestral estates, their gold, their immense vineyards, and I completely erased their legacy. His chest swelled with a desperate, tragic sense of pride. Half of the known world now bears your name, Beatrice. There are sprawling cities, vast trading ports, and towering fortresses named entirely in your honor. I made absolutely certain that for the next 1,000 years, every king and emperor will have to speak the name of the scullery maid who saved my life. He waited for her to speak, his heart pounding heavily and anxiously against his ribs. He wanted her to finally feel vindicated after a lifetime of quiet suffering. He wanted to offer her the ultimate triumph, the absolute and crushing defeat of her past oppressors. Instead, the small, frail woman in his arms let out a soft, heartbreaking sigh. She slowly lifted her trembling hand and found his thick, heavily scarred fingers in the dim light. "Oh, my fierce wolf," she whispered, her fragile voice carrying a deep ocean of sorrow. She did not sound triumphant, she only sounded overwhelmingly sad for his burdened soul. "You carried so much heavy hatred in your heart for so long.
You spend your entire life fighting ghosts just to avenge a memory." Gideon's throat tightened, the fierce pride instantly dissolving into a hollow, agonizing ache. "They hurt you," he argued desperately, sounding like a lost boy trying to justify a bloody fight. "They treated you like dirt beneath their expensive boots. They deserved the abyss." Beatrice slowly turned her face toward him, her blind, clouded eyes searching blindly for his gaze. "I never cared about the cruel steward, Gideon," she said gently, her tone completely devoid of anger. "I never cared about the noble ladies in silk, or the grand names of their captured cities." She reached up, her brittle fingers brushing softly against the rough, heavy stubble on his jaw. "When I was scrubbing those freezing floors, I was not dreaming of bloody revenge or golden crowns. I was only wondering if the wounded soldier in the dark stable had ever found his way to a safe hearth." The absolute purity of her words struck him harder than any physical blow he had ever taken on the battlefield. It was the ultimate, devastating contrast between his violent world and her gentle spirit. He had built an entire empire of blood and steel just to prove his eternal devotion to her. He had become a terrifying conqueror, an unstoppable force of nature that crushed everything in its path. Yet, she had remained completely and utterly untouched by the darkness of the world. Even standing at the very edge of death, she held no malice, no desire for brutal retribution. She only held on to the unconditional warmth she had freely given a dying stranger 2 decades ago. Gideon closed his eyes tightly, completely broken by the monumental weight of her quiet grace. The hot tears he had fought so hard to suppress began to flow freely and silently once again. They slipped down his scarred cheeks, soaking deeply into the coarse gray wool of her shawl. "I am so sorry," he wept quietly in the dark, his massive shoulders shaking with silent sobs. "I wasted so much precious time burning the world when I should have been searching for you." He pressed his forehead gently against hers, their breaths mingling softly in the freezing air of the room. "I should have looked harder. I should have torn apart every stone in the realm until I found you." Beatrice smiled in the dark, a beautiful, radiant expression that made her look exactly like the young girl from his memories. "You found me exactly when you were supposed to," she comforted him, her voice a soothing balm to his shattered soul. She weakly patted his broad, muscular chest, her physical strength fading noticeably with every passing second. "You have given me a beautiful story to take with me into the long dark." The blizzard outside the abbey walls intensified as midnight finally approached. The wind howled like a pack of starved wolves against the thick exterior stone. Inside the narrow room, the single candle burned down to its final melting inches. The yellow light flickered weakly, casting long, fading shadows across the wooden bed. Gideon sat completely frozen, holding Beatrice tightly against his chest. He could feel the terrible, undeniable shift occurring in her failing body. The erratic fluttering of her heart was growing dangerously slow beneath his hands. The warmth he had tried so desperately to pour into her was slipping away. Her thin fingertips, resting against his rough skin, felt like actual ice. Panic, raw and deeply suffocating, seized his throat. He carefully reached for the small clay cup resting on the dusty wooden table. It was filled with fresh water the nuns had left behind earlier. "Drink," he whispered, pressing the rim gently against her gra, cracked lips. "Just a little, Bea. It will ease your throat." Beatrice barely parted her lips, but she did not have the strength to swallow. A tiny drop of water escaped the corner of her mouth and slid down her pale chin. She weakly turned her head away from the cold clay cup. Her breathing was a shallow, painful rattle that tore direct at Ekigeian's soul. "No more," she managed to say, her voice barely a hollow breath. Gideon set the cup down with a heavy, trembling hand. He immediately took both of her small hands in his massive, scarred ones. He brought them to his mouth, blowing hot, desperate breaths over her cold skin. He rubbed her thin fingers furiously, trying to force the blood to circulate again. The immortal wolf, the man who had commanded thousands of heavily armored knights, was reduced to begging. "Stay with me," he pleaded to the quiet, damp room. He kissed her knuckles repeatedly, his hot tears wetting her gray, lifeless skin. "Please, Beatrice, just hold on a little longer. The morning will come."
But the deep, bone-chilling cold continued to creep steadily up her arms. Death was standing in the room with them, completely ignoring his royal commands. It was the one absolute enemy his heavy sword could never strike down. Beatrice let out a soft, tired sigh and rested her head heavily against his chest. "Gideon," she whispered. Her voice was fading quickly, sounding like an echo from a very distant place. "Tell me." Gideon stopped rubbing her hands and pulled her frail body closer. He strained his ears to hear her over the violent howling of the winter wind outside. "Tell you what, my love?" he asked, his rough voice breaking in the dark. "Tell me about the girl in the stable," she murmured. She closed her clouded eyes, retreating into the familiar safety of the past. "Tell me what you saw before I cut the blanket." She was asking for the story of her own salvation, told entirely through the eyes of a monster. Gideon swallowed hard, fighting the crushing, heavy weight in his chest. He did not want to speak of the past. He wanted to secure their future. But he looked down at her peaceful, sunken face and knew he had absolutely no choice. He had to give her this final, quiet comfort. He took a deep, shuddering breath and closed his tired eyes. "It was completely dark," he began, his voice a low, rumbling hum in the quiet room. "I was lying in the wet mud, bleeding out from a deep spear wound in my side. The cold rain was pouring through the rotting holes in the stable roof. I heard the heavy wooden door creak open against the mud." He tightened his grip on her waist, remembering the sheer, blinding terror of that exact moment. "I thought it was the enemy guards coming back to finish the job. I reached for a rusted pitchfork in the hay, ready to kill whoever walked through that door." Beatrice smiled weakly in the dark, a tiny movement that barely registered against his tunic. "But it was not a guard," Gideon continued, his voice softening into absolute, profound reverence. "It was just a tiny, shivering maid holding a broken, smoking lantern. Your hair was messy, tied back with a frayed piece of old kitchen string. You were wearing a coarse wool dress that was at least three sizes too big for you." He opened his eyes and looked down at the silver-haired woman resting in his arms. He saw completely past the wrinkles and the sickness, seeing only the brave girl from his memory. "You looked absolutely terrified," he whispered. "You saw the dark blood soaking into the hay, and you dropped your heavy lantern. I raised my weapon at you. I growled like a cornered, starving animal. I told you I would snap your neck instantly if you screamed for help." He paused, his broad, powerful shoulders shaking as the memory overwhelmed him. He had been so incredibly cruel, and she had been so terribly small. "Anyone else would have run," Gideon said, a deep sense of awe filling his broken voice. "The smartest, bravest men in the realm would have fled and locked the door behind them. But you didn't run away." He gently stroked her thin, fragile cheek with his calloused thumb. "You knelt down right into the bloody, freezing mud. You looked past the dirt, the broken armor, and the drawn weapon.
You looked right into my eyes and simply saw a dying man who desperately needed help. Your hands were shaking so violently that you could barely hold your kitchen knife, but your eyes were completely steady. You didn't ask what I had done to deserve my fatal wounds. You didn't ask which lord I fought for, or how much gold I could pay you for your silence. You simply saw suffering, and you chose to heal it without a second thought. Beatrice let out a long, slow breath. It was a sound of deep, profound, and absolute peace. "You were just a boy," she whispered very faintly. "A frightened, lonely boy who needed a warm blanket." Gideon bowed his head, letting his tears fall freely onto her thin, fragile shoulders. To the rest of the world, he was the immortal wolf. He was a walking nightmare, a ruthless conqueror who tore down empires and burned cities. But to this one frail woman, he had only ever been a vulnerable human being. He held onto her tightly, wrapping his massive arms completely around her fading life. He kept speaking into the dark, telling her every detail of her own kindness, hoping to anchor her soul to his voice. The single candle on a wooden table finally sputtered and died. The small room was immediately plunged into absolute suffocating darkness. Only the faint gray moonlight filtering through the frosted window offered any illumination. The wind outside seemed to scream louder, battering the thick stone walls of the abbey. Gideon's eyes, trained to see through the blackest nights of war, quickly adjusted to the gloom. He could clearly see the pale outline of Beatrice's face resting against his dark tunic. Her breathing had changed entirely. It was no longer a steady, rhythmic struggle for air. Instead, it had become a series of long, terrifying pauses. Every time her chest stopped moving, Gideon's own heavy heart stopped with it. He waited in agonizing, paralyzed suspense until she finally drew another shallow, rattling gasp. "Gideon," she whispered. The sound was barely more than a faint vibration against his collarbone. "I am here," he answered instantly, his voice cracking in the freezing air. He leaned his face down, pressing his rough cheek against her cold, silver hair. "I am right here, Bea. I am holding you. I will not let you go." Beatrice moved her hand very slowly. Her stiff, brittle fingers found the heavy fabric of his linen tunic. She gripped it with whatever tiny fraction of physical strength she had left in her dying body. "You must promise me something," she breathed out into the dark room. Gideon shook his head blindly, burying his face deeper into her neck. "I will promise you anything you want tomorrow," he lied desperately. "When the sun comes up, I will give you whatever you asked. Just wait for the sun." "There is no tomorrow, my wolf," she replied softly. She did not sound afraid of the approaching dark. She only sounded deeply resigned to it. "Listen to me very carefully. We do not have much time." Gideon closed his eyes tightly. Tears continued to trace hot, desperate paths through the dirt and thick scars on his face. He nodded once, a sharp, jerky movement of absolute, crushing defeat. "Do not let your grief turn into a fire," she whispered. She knew the massive, dangerous man holding her better than anyone else in the entire world. She knew the bottomless well of rage and violence that slept just beneath his hardened skin. "When I am gone, do not burn this abbey to the ground." She paused, struggling fiercely to pull enough thin air into her failing lungs to finish her sentence. "Do not punish these elderly women for failing to save a dying maid." Gideon's jaw clenched so hard that his back teeth ached. A dark, terrible urge to destroy the world had already begun to form in the pit of his stomach. If the universe took her away from him, he wanted to make the entire universe bleed. He wanted to tear down the stone walls of this wretched, freezing place barehanded. "They let you freeze in this damp cell," he choked out, his voice thick with rising venom. "They should have sent word to the capital. They should have scoured the realm to find me. They gave me shelter when the endless wars displaced me," Beatrice corrected him gently. Her frail, freezing fingers tapped weakly against his broad chest. "They shared their meager, stale bread with a broken, nameless woman. They are innocent, Gideon, and so are the desperate people in the lower valleys." She tilted her head back slightly, trying to find his face in the gray, shifting shadows.
Promise me you will sheathe your heavy sword forever. Gideon let out a ragged, agonizing sob that shook his entire massive frame. I cannot, he wept openly into the dark, stripped of all his royal pride. I have forgotten how to be a man of peace. I only know how to conquer and destroy. Then learn, she demanded, her voice carrying a sudden, fierce clarity. It was the exact same quiet, immovable authority she had used to stop his bleeding 20 years ago. Be the man I saved in that dirty stable. Do not become the cruel monster they all expect you to be. She reached up, her cold thumb grazing his wet cheek for the final time. Promise me, Gideon, let the bloodshed end tonight. Gideon looked down at the frail woman who held his entire soul in her freezing hands. He reached into his tunic and grasped a small piece of bloody wool tied around his neck. He pressed it firmly against his own heavily scarred heart. I promise, he swore, his voice breaking into a harsh, ruined whisper. By this blanket, by your holy name, I swear it, the war ends tonight. Beatrice let out a long, slow sigh of profound and ultimate relief. The deep tension that had held her frail body together for decades finally dissolved. Thank you, she murmured, her words slurring softly together as the absolute darkness welcomed her. It is so incredibly quiet now. She settled her heavy, tired head against his broad chest. I am just going to sleep for a little while. Sleep, my love, Gideon whispered frantically, rocking her slightly in his thick arms. I will hold you. I will stay awake and keep the winter cold away. He waited desperately for her to reply, but the room remained perfectly silent. He waited for her chest to rise, for the familiar, painful rattle of her breath. He waited for the next weak heartbeat against his own chest. Nothing happened. The heavy, terrifying stillness stretched out into the freezing winter night. The fragile, fluttering rhythm he had been guarding so fiercely simply stopped.
Gideon sat perfectly motionless in the dark, his mind completely blank. He stared blindly at the frosted window, unable to comprehend the absolute finality of the moment. He slowly lowered his heavy head, pressing his ear directly against her thin, fragile chest. There was no sound at all. The kind heart that had beaten for him for 20 long years was permanently silent. A low, guttural sound began to build deep within Gideon's massive chest. It was not a human cry of sorrow. It was the devastating, primal howl of a beast whose mate had just been permanently taken. The immortal wolf buried his scarred face deeply into her silver hair. He crushed her lifeless, weightless body against him. He screamed his absolute, unfiltered agony into the dark, empty room. The terrifying sound echoed down the cold stone corridors of the abbey, piercing the violent blizzard outside. It was the tragic sound of a supreme conqueror realizing that his greatest victory was entirely worthless. The morning sun finally broke through the heavy gray clouds. It cast a pale, weak light over the frozen valley of Blackwood. The violent blizzard had exhausted itself completely during the long night. Inside the narrow room, Gideon had not moved a single inch. He sat on the broken wooden bed with Beatrice cradled tightly against his chest. Her silver hair was completely still against his collarbone. Her skin had taken on the pale, beautiful hue of carved marble. He traced the cold lines of her face one last time. He memorized the deep, peaceful expression she wore in death. There was absolutely no pain left in her delicate features. Slowly, Gideon stood up from the creaking mattress. His massive muscles ached deeply from holding the same rigid position all night. He did not reach for his heavy steel armor scattered across the floor. He left the iron breastplate and the heavy chainmail resting in the dust. He only picked up his thick woolen cloak. He wrapped it securely around Beatrice's fragile, lifeless body. He lifted her carefully into his massive arms. She weighed almost nothing, feeling lighter than the winter wind. Gideon carried her out of the dark room and walked down the stone corridor. His heavy leather boots made a slow, hollow sound against the floor. The elderly nuns were gathered in the main chapel, kneeling on the freezing stone. They trembled violently when they saw the giant shadow enter the archway.
They had heard his terrifying, animalistic howl in the middle of the night. They fully expected the ruthless warlord to slaughter them all where they prayed. Gideon stopped in the center of the quiet chapel. He looked at the terrified women huddled before the wooden altar. His dark eyes were hollow, completely drained of the furious fire that had driven him for decades. "You gave her shelter," he said softly, his voice a rough, exhausted whisper. He reached into his tunic and threw a heavy leather pouch onto the stone floor. It landed with the loud, heavy clinking of solid gold coins. "Rebuild the collapsed roof. Buy warm wood for your hearths." He turned away from them without waiting for their grateful tears. He pushed the heavy oak doors open and stepped out into the freezing courtyard. His massive army was waiting in the deep snow. Thousands of heavily armed men stood in perfect, disciplined silence. They saw their immortal commander emerge without his fearsome armor. They saw the small, bundled shape resting protectively in his arms. Julian, the chief physician, lowered his head in deep, solemn respect. Gideon walked slowly through the center of his veteran soldiers. "The war is over," he announced to the silent ranks. His voice carried clearly across the frozen morning air. "Return to your homes, return to your quiet fields." He did not look back to see if they obeyed his final command. He mounted his warhorse, holding Beatrice firmly against his chest. A small guard of his most loyal men followed him as he rode south. The mournful journey took 3 long, agonizing weeks. Gideon did not speak a single word the entire time. He refused to let anyone else tend to her wrapped body. They left the freezing snow and the bitter winds of the north far behind them. The air gradually grew warmer, smelling of rich salt and damp earth. They finally reached the limestone manor sitting on the high coastal cliff. The southern sun was bright and incredibly warm. Just as he had promised her, Gideon carried her through the massive, arched glass doors. He walked past the empty, silent halls meant for a reigning queen. He brought her out to the sprawling garden facing the open, blue sea. There was a massive, ancient oak tree standing at the very edge of the cliff. Gideon ordered his men to step back and leave him alone. He refused the iron shovels offered by his loyal guards. He knelt in the dirt and dug into the rich soil with his bare, scarred hands. He worked until his thick fingernails cracked and his muscles failed. He carefully laid Beatrice into the dark, welcoming earth. He arranged the heavy woolen cloak around her shoulders to keep the soil away from her face. He stood over the open grave for a very long time. He listened to the steady, rhythmic crashing of the ocean waves below the cliff. Then, he unbuckled his heavy longsword from his leather belt. This was the legendary weapon that had conquered entire kingdoms and ended royal dynasties. He brought the steel blade down heavily against a large, jagged stone. The heavy sword snapped in half with a sharp, ringing crack that echoed over the water. He dropped the broken pieces into the grave, letting the metal rest permanently at her feet. The immortal wolf buried his fangs alongside his only mate. He filled the grave slowly, covering his violent past with warm southern soil. When it was done, he ordered his remaining men to leave the estate entirely. He remained at the Grand Manor completely alone. Years turned into quiet, peacefully passing decades. The pale limestone walls of the great house began to weather in the gentle sea breeze. Gideon grew into a deeply solitary, quiet old man. His massive, terrifying shoulders stooped heavily with the weight of age. His fierce, dark hair turned as pale and silver as hers had once been. He never raised his voice or held a weapon again. He spent all his days kneeling in the soft dirt of the cliffside garden. He planted hundreds of white rose bushes around the large oak tree. He tended to the fragile roots with the same hands that had once crushed empires. When the white flowers bloomed, the air smelled sweet and heavily fragrant. The simple townsfolk in the valley below told strange stories of a giant who'd on the cliff. They did not know he was the terrifying, immortal conqueror from the history books. They only knew him as the quiet gardener who tended to a solitary, nameless grave. Every evening, Gideon would sit on the smooth stone bench beneath the oak tree. He would watch the orange sun set slowly over the endless ocean. He would reach a trembling hand into his worn linen tunic. He would pull out a small, ragged piece of dried, bloody wool. He would hold it tightly in his rough, heavily scarred palm. He no longer felt the biting, terrible cold of those old northern winters. He only felt the gentle, lingering warmth of a brave maid who had saved his life.
He closed his eyes and listened to the wind rustling through the white roses. He waited patiently for the absolute dark to finally claim his tired soul. He knew Beatrice would be waiting in the quiet shadows to gently guide him home.